Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
All right. Welcome everyone here to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Choate with a very special guest, Farron Williams, one of our clients. Super excited to hear his story as he shares how he was able to turn his marriage around, which I know many of you are wanting answers, and maybe you are in a similar place as where Farron was when he first started working with us. So grateful and excited to have you here, Farron. Thanks for being on today. We appreciate it. Before we jump in and talk about your experience, though, I am going to share a client win of the week. This one just came from our team, and they say that this comes from our client, Ray, and he says, "My wife and I just got remarried last night." They sent this right over Thanksgiving weekend. It was a long process, but it was definitely worth it. For any of you that are feeling like you're losing hope, don't give up. Trust the process and know that it will work. I never thought that we'd get here, but I'm so grateful that we are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So that's an awesome win from Ray. Super excited that you guys got remarried. We love hearing your wins like that. It's very inspirational to all of us and touches my heart deeply. So now we're gonna jump right in and introduce yourself a little bit, Farron. Tell us who you are. Tell us a little bit about where you were before you started coaching with us, and then a little bit about where things are now.
Hey everybody, I am Farron Williams. My ex-wife we were married for 17 years. Showed up one night from work and she said, "Hey, I want a divorce." Kind of out of the blue, wasn't expecting it. And probably feel a lot like you guys, felt a lot like you guys did, lost. Don't know what happened, where it went wrong, and why after so long is this coming to fruition? So it was pretty lost. We have four children together. It's been a long, hard battle, I'll tell you that much. And since 2000, I remember the day to right now. It was September 9th of 2018 when she told me she wanted a divorce. So it's been a long, hard battle, but I will tell you, it's where we're at right now. It was well worth that battle.
Wow. Yeah. So you started working with us in about 2019. What were some of the things that led up to you deciding that you wanted to do something to help your marriage and to want to work with us? What was going on between you and your wife?
It was just a matter of, I wasn't going to throw 17 years of my life away. We're LDS, so we were married in the temple, and that means a big thing where I come from. I just wasn't going to give up on it. I wasn't going to give up on my family. There was no way. I told her that many, many times. I don't care what you're doing. I'll always forgive you. And I'm not giving up on our family. Can't do it. So I saw an ad or something like that. I can't remember where I got the information, but I saw it. I was doing a lot of research on how to save my marriage. And I came across two different places. I went to the first place first, didn't feel like I was getting any kind of results. There wasn't really any one-on-one coaching or anything like that. And so I'm like, you know what? Set that one to the side. And I said, let me take a look at this one. Started having one-on-one coachings with Mark. I think I had a couple with you to get my mind set right where I needed it to be. And, you know, it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah. So what were some of the issues and the challenges that were leading up to the point where you guys were looking at divorce before you started?
I worked in retail. I blame a lot of this on my lifestyle at the time. I worked in retail. I for lack of better terms, I babysat adults all day long in retail management. And when I got off of work, I didn't want to come home and babysit my own children. I was done for the day. It was a lot of me that caused these issues in my marriage. And to step back and see that was a big step forward for me. You know, we both had issues within the marriage, but I think that the base would have been my job at the time. When I got home from work, I didn't want to do anything else. I climbed into my little shell and decompressed and didn't want to help with anything else. So, you know, that's for me, that was a big thing to realize after talking with Mark.
Who here can relate to that? I mean, so many of us have so many demands on our time and, you know, we just have a lot going on. You know, my husband works full time. I'm at home with the kids. And at the end of the day, I often am just completely burnt out. And so, you know, managing our energy and all of that is so important to be able to have a healthy relationship. But life can get really challenging. And sometimes career and job and just giving a lot of time and energy to a lot of other things can really zap the connection that you have with your spouse. So if you're feeling that and thinking that, you're not alone. And I can totally see that that's where you were coming from. So as you were in this kind of situation, were you the one pushing for a divorce or was your wife pushing for a divorce?
No, she was the one that I think was kind of fed up with my lack of help. And she told me, she's like, you know, if I'm going to do this by myself, I might as well not be married. And so that's mm-hmm. kind of where things went.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you mentioned that you looked into another program. What were some other things that you tried to do that you thought maybe would solve this or maybe would fix it before you joined with us? And why or why didn't those things work? Because a lot of people are looking to a lot of different places. And so it's important to see, you know, when you're facing one of these challenges, what are the options and what's going to actually help you the best? So what were some of the things that you tried or thought were going to fix it?
Pleading. That was one of the biggest things. I'm pleading with her. You know, when she first told me, she moved into one of my daughter's rooms. And you know, I would knock on the door and ask her if I could come in, we'd talk, and then I would start pleading. And that, you know, that drove her away more, I think, than anything, simply because who wants a whiny, dribbling mess to say, hey, I want you back, you know, got to be strong and stand up and be like, you know what, let's work through these problems, not cry about it and try and beg you to come back. I talked with my bishop, which would be similar to a pastor, to try and get some feedback from him. I called through my work. I tried to get, you know, family counseling going, some counseling, stuff like that. It just, nothing ever seemed to stick. Nothing ever seemed to gel as well as the program really did. The program, you know, following the steps in the program, and sometimes it's tough because they make you look at yourself more than they make you look at the person that left or whatever. It's a lot of self-reflection on what did I do to cause this issue and how can I turn that stuff around to make her want me back instead of me chasing after her all the time.
Right. I laugh not because it's funny, but it is kind of funny because, yes, we do make you look at yourself. So I can totally relate. And yeah, it is a lot about like looking at like what are some of these root issues underneath the symptoms, right? So the symptom is my wife says she's not happy. She wants out. But what am I doing and what's going on underneath the surface that's really causing this to be where we're at? And so, yeah, it is powerful when we actually address those root issues in what I feel like we do is a really systematic type of way, right? Like a step-by-step mm-hmm. progress. One of the questions that we had from our audience here was about communication. and that they're in a similar situation. Their wife's wanting a divorce, also moved to a separate bedroom, so kind of similar situation as well, but is really closed off, won't talk about the relationship, just says, I'm done. There's nothing you can do. I'm not happy here. I love you, but I'm not in love with you, is what this person's spouse is saying, which is really, really common, right? Raise your hand again, leave in the comments if that's what you guys are experiencing. And so he's asking, like, what did you do if your communication was also that closed off? So I guess the first question is, what was your communication like before you started working with us? Were you able to talk about things well, or was she really closed off, resistant? I know you talked about the pleading, but kind of paint a picture of what your communication was like. And then we'll see if we can help answer this gentleman's question.
Really and truly, our communication was closed off. That was about the extent of it. I would go in and I would talk to her and we'd have, you know, conversations, but it was a cold conversation. Could tell that she didn't want to have this conversation. And then it just turned into, I'm looking for someone else right now. You know, she was online dating while she was still in the house. So it was not a very good, we were not in a good place as far as communication goes. Honestly, looking back at things, I would have done a lot differently is I would have quit trying to push her. I would have stopped trying to push her. Hey, can I come in? Hey, can we talk about this? I would have stepped back, let her feel more comfortable, because at that time she wasn't feeling comfortable with me. And so I would want her to get more comfortable so that we could talk about, and I think I would talk about things that didn't matter towards our relationship. It would be things about the kids or things about something, some of her interests, to show her that, hey, I am interested in you and developing our relationship back to where it needs to be.
Right. Yeah, that pushing is so natural, because when they're so closed off and everything just feels like ice, it's really scary. It does not feel good. And then, you know, compile on top of that, that they're looking at other, you know, romantic partners potentially and online dating sites, it feels like they're just slipping further and further away. And so this is a really common thing that we see, is that we get into a lot of fear. And so then we try to push or plead or become really desperate to try to get them back. But one of the things that, you know, we teach is that that only pushes them further away. Did you see that when you were pushing her, that it only pushed her further away from you?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, she began an affair. Probably about a year or so after it happened, that's what she told me. She said, the only reason that I did that was to push you away from me, to say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. And so, you know, it's a matter that pushing only pushes them further away.
Right. Yeah. And so what do you feel like helped you get out of that pushing and neediness? You mentioned, just talking about the kids or talking about things that she was interested in, just to show her that you cared. What kind of was what went on with inside you to get to a place where you could feel like, okay, I really need to change this pushiness. I really need to do something different here. Can you describe what that was like?
You know, honestly, it was probably about a year into the program that I really got to that point, because before then I was always, this is her fault. She chose someone else to come into our, you know, into our relationship. This is her fault. I can't believe she did this to me. You know, it was always me. It was me, without looking at the things that caused her to do what she did. You know, it's we all have our free agency. We all have our choice. She could have chosen differently, but, you know, my actions gave her the ability to say, you know what, this is because of you. This is because of you. And so to come to that conclusion that, yes, this really was a lot on me, I think that that's at the point when I was able to, you know, self-reflect and say, okay, I did this, and this. Now, how am I going to change this, and this, so that I'm more attractive to her than pushing her away and saying, you know, you haven't ever changed. This has been going on for so long and you never changed it. So that's, I don't know if I answered your question, but that's kind of how I felt about the situation.
Gotcha. So if I'm hearing you right, it sounds like you were saying like, it was a lot about me at the beginning. It was about that I've been wronged. My wife hurt me. She chose someone else. She needs to change. And all those things that we tend to do when we're in that situation. But that's why what we teach always starts with perspective. That's P in the PATH method, right? Is to get perspective for what they're going through, why they're doing what they're doing, what they're really wanting there, and uncover those underlying issues in the relationship that are causing this story to come about, right? The spouse's story that they have about us, right? They have a belief and a story about us. It sounds like, you know, what I heard you say is like, she said that, you know, you were working a lot and that she was doing everything alone. And then you kept pushing her when she said she was done. And then that pushing her even more made her be like, well, I'm going to go have an affair to show you that I'm really done, right? So we talk a lot about how important it is to understand our spouse's story. Do you feel like that was one of the first things that helped you really get that communication going, is actually not focusing so much on communication, focusing more on understanding her and understanding her story and where she was coming from?
Absolutely. We've had kind of in-depth conversations over the past probably about 6 months. And in those conversations, she was always, you know, she's like, well, this is how I felt during that time. You know, this is what you were doing. This is what I was doing. And this is how I felt. And, you know, then I would go back to her and, you know, well, I understand how you're feeling like that, but this is how I was feeling during that time. You know, open up those, mm-hmm. that instead of it's me and you, it's, you know, my feelings. This is how I feel, you know, instead of the, oh, well, you did this to me. This is you. Why did you do that to me? This is how I felt during that time, you know, and that has moved, I think, our relationship forward even more, simply because we're not pointing fingers anymore. It's, this is how I felt during that time. And this is how I felt when you did that, when this happened, kind of a thing. And that's kind of opened up our communication a lot more.
Yeah. Do you feel like she felt more understood by you as you were asking her how she felt about things and willing to actually see her perspective?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. You know, it was funny, the same night that we were talking, she's like, you know, she's like, I see a huge change in you. She said, when we were together, I would have probably given you like a F rating. She's like, but you're at least a B plus right now. And for me to hear that, you know, she's a teacher at heart. That's what she did for many years. And so for me to hear that, it was like, oh my gosh, that's the best thing. I don't have to be an A. I'm a B plus right now. I'm not even an F. So, you know, that made me feel really good, because now she understands that I'm there to back her. I'm there to help her out. I'm there to listen to her. You know, our communication before, she would want to sit down and talk about stuff and I would just kind of blow it off. Or if I would want to sit down and talk about stuff, she would blow it off. And so we didn't really have that open communication. It was, because I think that the way that we approached it was more, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, kind of a thing, instead of, you know, this is how I'm feeling. So no, neither one of us wanted to have conversations about anything because of that, you know, accusatory conversation.
Right. Yeah. No one likes to feel defensive and feel like they're being attacked or blamed. And then that's what really puts up a lot of those walls. So to answer this gentleman's question, I feel like, and what Farron's illustrating so well here, is that that wall that's between you is going to persist. It's going to continue as long as it's you against the person, you against your spouse, right? You against your wife or you against your husband, because then you're just continuing to, you know, throw darts at each other, and it's you against them instead of us on the same side of the table against this issue. And really the first step to that, to lowering the wall, or those self-defense mechanisms, the ice, right, why they're not opening up, is to increase that understanding and to increase your understanding of their perspective and what they're going through. When we really feel understood by anyone, we immediately feel connection with them. We feel safer with them. We feel more secure because we all crave understanding. Like, feeling truly understood by someone feels amazing, right? It feels so, so good. And so when you can do that for your partner and show them, hey, I'm not putting the pressure on here. I just genuinely want to understand where you're coming from. Then that is what helps to open up those lines of communication and build a deeper connection between you. So thank you for sharing that, Farron. That's really, really beautiful. Where would you say your communication is now? So you talked about how, you know, you were striving to understand each other and express, you know, this is how I'm feeling, rather than you did this to me, it's all your fault, right? You shifted that at the beginning. How would you say your communication is now?
I think it's done a complete turnaround. I mean, we're right now we're still living in separate homes. I have one of my children, she has the other three, but a lot of our communication starts about the kids. And then next thing I know, we're 30 or 45 minutes into a conversation that is about anything. It feels like we're friends, you know. And I know that we don't want to be in the friend zone. However, you know, the way I look at it is our relationship started out as friends. We were friends before we became, you know, girlfriend and boyfriend. Then we became husband and wife. So I think that going back to the basics and being able to have open communication now with her is going to push that forward. You know, our communication is great. You know, it's a whole, in a completely different ballpark than it was before.
That's awesome. So when you have challenges now or sensitive issues, do you feel like you are able to communicate those, and how do you approach those now?
Most of our sensitive issues at this point are about the kids. And so we don't really talk about the relationship. We don't talk about that kind of thing unless what we're doing at the time spurs into that. You know, so I don't really have an answer for that question because we're not really talking about that relationship. I'm at that point where I don't want to go backwards. I want to stay, I'm in a kind of a comfortable spot. And I want this to move forward, but not jeopardize what I've already been through and where we're at right now, if that makes sense.
Right. Perfect sense. So for those that know our path process, we've got the perspective, right? We've got adjustment. We've got tell a new story, which is basically, it sounds like, where you and your wife are at right now. And then we have the hope and close, where now you're really committed and have the passionate romantic relationship again. And so stage three is a really incredible, incredible progress to make from going, you know, from I want a divorce, I'm not willing to work on it with you, I want to be with another person, I'm having an affair, you know, to now we're friends and we can communicate about things, we can talk about anything now. It's really, really, really good progress. And we love to see, we look for, you know, Mark and I, as we work with, you know, so many couples, we look for these markers of progress. And it's a really beautiful thing to witness. So it's incredibly inspirational, and you should be really proud of yourself and how far you guys have come. Let's talk a little bit about the story, because we had a question about this as well. And if you're watching live, welcome and hi. you can leave in the comments any questions that you have that you would love for Farron or I to address. And that would be a really awesome way to get some perspective and some hope maybe in your situation, if you have a specific situation or question that you have. So let us know. So this one is about the story, because we have some awesome students here that have really, you know, listened to the podcast, they've come to some of our master classes, they've joined our programs, and they get how important it is to uncover the narrative. And so when your spouse has a really negative belief about you, we know that we really can't make progress if they continue to have that story. And I heard you say several things throughout the interview so far about how you helped change some of those stories and the perceptions and the beliefs that you had about the relationship. and that she had about you and the relationship. So the question here is, I'm really struggling to let my spouse, or have my wife let the story go about me that I'm selfish and not emotionally supportive of her. Can you give me any advice on how to do that?
So I think that consistency has shown her that I am that person that I've professed to be after, you know, I've made all these changes in my life. If you can't show that persistence, that consistency, then it's going to be that you're never going to change. You never changed. There's no change in you whatsoever, because if you don't show that consistency, and you know, it goes with my whole family. You know, she calls me up and she's like, hey, I need you to take the so-and-so to the doctor, or they've got an appointment, they've got this. Being able to show her that, hey, I am here. I'm here for the long haul. These are my kids too. And I will do whatever you need me to do. And showing her that consistency that, oh, well, you know, I told you I was going to go, but I really couldn't get off of work or something like that. I mean, it takes that backwards. And so if you want to open up that communication, and if you want to have that, have her feel like you're there for her, the consistency, that's all I can think of in my head right now, is just consistent, being consistent about everything that you do.
Yeah. Thank you. So what would you say, if you could go back in time, do you remember what some of the stories were that she had about you? What were some of the things that she would say about you? What were some of the reasons why she wanted a divorce? What were some of the beliefs that she had about you justifying having an affair? What were some of those stories? Because I'm sure that a lot of people listening have a spouse that is also saying similar things about them. So what were some of those stories that she had about you?
I mean, the story for the affair was she was trying to push me away. Her story for her narrative at the time for the divorce was that I just wasn't there, you know, which, you know, after time I was able to turn that, because I have pictures of me being there. I went to every one of my daughter's recitals, you know, just reminding her of these things over time. Can't just lay everything out in front of her and say, look, I was here all this time. It's some of those things, just bringing back those memories, you know? So, you know, bringing back those memories of me actually being there, was able to show her that, yeah, you know, I didn't take care of the kids as well as I should have, but, you know, I went to everything for them. It's funny, we all have our own narrative in these things. And so to be able to marry my narrative with her narrative is the ultimate progress as far as I'm concerned. And so being able to, you know, over time show her that maybe her narrative wasn't correct, without actually saying, hey, your narrative isn't correct.
Right. I just had a little visitor come upstairs. So.
You're fine. No worries.
Yeah. So with that narrative of like, you really weren't there for me, what did that feel like to hear that from her? Was it hard to take at first? Did you feel resistant to her story at first? Oh, absolutely. Go ahead and take it outside.
No, I didn't want to hear that. And it felt like an attack.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're like attacking me, then I'm going to find something to attack you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to be back in just 1 second. So, excuse me. Sorry. All right. Here we go. Hey, JoJo. Big brother's watching today, and she came upstairs. Just go ahead and take her downstairs. So we have 8 children, and that's just how it rolls sometimes.
Yep.
All right, so you said you felt, like, defensive, like you're being attacked here. Would you tend to get defensive and try to prove to her that that wasn't true. And, you know, go into some of that. You talked about, you know, kind of begging and some of those things. Did you ever try to like force her to see that that wasn't true? Or what do you feel like went on with you with that?
Absolutely. Let me preface this with, I've changed a whole lot over these 3 years, made huge changes in my life. So yes, I would be defensive and I would get mad and I would try to force her to see, like you said, for the, you don't understand. This is, I was there for this and I was there for that. But by that time, she's got her wall up, and so there's no work between for both of us.
Right. So going from that was her story, and that was how you were reacting, and then you shifted that to, hey, I'm actually going to try to understand where she's coming from. I'm going to try to see where she's coming from when she says these things, and then really looking at yourself. What were some of the new stories that you started to tell about the relationship? Like, what's the story that you have for the relationship?
You know, there's parts of her narrative that are completely true. So I have to, you know, give her props for some of those things that are true. But, you know, over time, like I said, it's just been through conversation and through examples showing her that, you know, her narrative isn't 100% on. So that's, I think that's where kind of still where we're at, is working through those narratives so that she can have a better understanding of, you know, my side versus her side. So that, again, so that we can marry those two perspectives.
Yeah. Is one of your narratives, because I heard you say it, so I'm just curious, and to kind of illustrate for people listening, that I am there for you, that I am going to be here for you and the kids. I'm in this for the long term. In fact, I'm in this like eternally. I'm going to forgive you. You know, I'm going to be present here. I'm willing to make changes. It sounds like those are some of the stories and beliefs that you have about the relationship at this point. Does that sound right?
Absolutely. Every time she had an issue with one of the kids, and every time I text her back, I'm like, let me know what you need me to do. I'm here for you. You know, when I left her house a couple of times when we were dealing with some of those issues, I'm like, I'm just a call away. I'm just down the street. Let me know so I can come up here and give you and help you out. So that just reinforces that every time I tell her, hey, I'm here for you, that in her mind now it's starting to work around that when she hears Farron, well, he's here for me.
Yeah, right. Mark calls those home messages, that we create a home message that it's like coming home. It's like, I'm bringing you back home. I'm bringing us back home. I'm bringing the relationship back home. I'm bringing myself back home. Home feels safe. Home feels secure, right? And so what are some of those home messages that you want to communicate with your spouse? So for those listening, you know, understand where they're really coming from and then start to tell a new story. That's the step three, right? Tell a new story and make those adjustments of that new story. If your spouse is saying, you know, you're not really emotionally connected to me, like this gentleman here, his question here about, you know, saying I'm not emotionally connected, I'm not there for her, then you would start to say, you know, I am emotionally supportive of you, or I want to be emotionally supportive of you. And then you continue to reiterate those home messages. It starts to become a new neural pathway in our brains and in their brain, and they start to see things through the lens of that new story. And that's how you create a new reality in your relationship. And it is with time and consistency, because their story that they have right now is a hardwired program, and they've built it up over weeks, months, sometimes years, right? And it can be really hard for them to let it go, because it's either justifying what they're doing so they don't have to feel guilt or shame as much. It lessens the pain, so they don't have to feel those emotions. Or it's a defense mechanism to prevent them from feeling pain of some kind. And so it's what we teach clients to do is to help their spouse feel safe enough to let those things go, that they don't have to hold on to that story anymore, and that they can have a new story about us and about the relationship. And that's how you're naturally drawn together. because it's solving things at the deeper root issue. Behind the story are always these root issues that we need to uncover and heal as well. And that's why we have the program that we do to help guide you through that process. Because it's something that's not easy to navigate when you're going through it yourself. I mean, would you agree, Farron? Do you think how easy would it have been to do if you had to do it all by yourself, right?
I would still be in that pity stage, feeling sorry for myself, I think, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it's so important to have mentors and experts and people to help guide us through and navigate these things, because it's really challenging. I wouldn't be where I am right now if I didn't have mentors and coaches that helped me break through and see things that I just couldn't see and help me know what the next step was. So yeah, it's really powerful. So another question here is, where are you at now and where are you working to be?
So again, right now I think we're at the friendship phase. As a matter of fact, I was over at her house one night, and I was there until probably, I don't know, I had been there for about 4 or 5 hours, been able to talk with her, and just, it felt like a family, that whole family feeling, you know. And the next day I took one of my daughters out for lunch, and she's like, "Hey Dad, how do you feel about Mom?" And of course I can't be completely honest. So I'm like, "Oh, you know, I think we're friends." And she's like, "Oh, well, that's good." She said, "'Cause Mom said that she could be friends with you after you left the other night, you know?" And so that's kind of where we're at right now. We're in that friendship stage. And I'm not sure what her feelings are just yet. Like I said, I haven't approached that yet. But I'm working towards getting my family back. I'm working towards having a relationship with her and remarrying one day. That's my ultimate goal. That's what I'm looking for. To be in a friendship stage from where we were 9 months ago is awesome to me.
It is awesome. It is really awesome. I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
Our connection was a little off. No worries. I'm just saying, for those that are listening and in our audience here, you might be thinking, man, they're already divorced, you know, and what kind of hope is there really? And I'm going to say it absolutely happens. You know, we just had our client Ray just get remarried last week. And so sometimes it's an interesting phenomenon, just to paint a picture for everyone here, because we've seen this happen. Sometimes an interesting thing happens when the divorce is actually finalized, because now there doesn't feel like there's any pressure on the relationship anymore. And that's the whole reason why we also talk about reducing pressure, like taking the pressure off the relationship, is for that same reason. So do you have to get divorced to have the pressure off? No, but it is an element that often happens when the divorce is finalized, is now the spouse that wanted the divorce doesn't feel the pressure to make things work. And then suddenly when that pressure's off, there's like room for the relationship to really grow and to build this deeper level of connection. And so, yeah, there are many times when people that are actually divorced and living completely separate find that because now there's no pressure on them, they're actually able to reconnect and find out that they want this relationship, and it's a really beautiful thing. So I think it's totally fascinating that the client success story that we just got over Thanksgiving was a remarriage, and now here you are in this exact stage. And it is amazing progress that 9 months ago to where you are right now, where you're at this friend stage, you're able to talk about things, you have respect, you're able to talk about your feelings about things, you're able to understand each other. All of those defense mechanisms have been lowered and reduced, which is just absolutely fabulous. So what advice would you give, Farron, as you kind of sum this whole journey up now from where you were to where you are now, what advice would you give to people that are going through a similar kind of situation? Maybe their spouse is saying, "I want a divorce. You don't support me. I might as well do this alone." Maybe their spouse is having an affair. What kind of advice would you give them?
you know, I don't want this to sound like a plug for Thriving Marriage at all, because I don't work for your company or anything like that, but had I not found your company, I would not be where I'm at today, honestly. Don't ever give up. Never, ever, ever give up. That's been my mantra to myself, is never give up, because there's been lots of times. Sorry, get a little emotional now. There's been lots of times when I've been up against that wall and it's like, you know what? I'm throwing in the towel. I can't do this anymore. But had I given up, I would not be where I'm at today. Our relationship would not be where it's at today. So never give up. If this is something that you truly, truly want and you truly desire, do not give up ever. Because somewhere down the line, they are going to realize what they lost. And that is probably you.
Beautiful. Thank you. And it is that dark night of the soul. It is that moment of, you know, everyone's telling me I should just move on. People are telling me I should just give up. Part of me feels like, what the heck am I doing? Is this even worth it? We do have those moments of self-doubt. Everything, I think every single great journey of life or any great challenge that you face that moment of, I don't think I can keep doing this, right? This is maybe a funny analogy, but, you know, even in childbirth, there's that moment where the woman's like, I can't do this. And then they're just about like just a few moments away from actually delivering a baby. Having had 8 children, I know what that's like. Every single time, even at my 8th child, you know, I was like looking at Ben and I was like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this at all. And then, you know, just a few minutes later, the baby's born. And so it's almost like any great challenge that we go through, we have to face where we're pushed to the edge. Like, we're pushed to like, I truly am beyond my limits here. And then you realize that you can take one more step. And then you realize you can take one more step and that you're never really alone the whole time. Like, you and I are both people of faith and we know that we're never truly alone and that there is so much love and so much support for us when we choose to focus on the things that we want to create. And so as we do that, it's amazing how we put that intention out there. We put that dream, we put that desire out there. We put that goal out there of, I want this happy relationship. I want this family forever. And as we do, I believe that God puts people in our path or programs or whatever it might be that helps us along the way and helps us in that journey so that we can get to that result. And I'm always grateful when those mercies and those blessings come to me, because I know I wouldn't be here if I had to do it alone. And I'm grateful that we're able to help shine a bit of a light for those that are also looking for that help and that guidance along the way so that we can try to pay it forward, right? That's the best thing. When you get to the other side, you're like, oh, wow, that was a lot. And so how could I help other people that are in the same place that I used to be and show them that it is possible, that they can do it? By listening to that inner part of them that says, I need to do this. If nothing else, I need to know that I gave it everything I could and that it was worth it, because I can live my life with no regrets versus the pain of regret of looking back on this 5, 10, 15 years from now and saying, I didn't do it. I chose to stay the victim. I chose to keep blaming her. You know, I chose to keep looking at why everyone else was making life hard for me and I didn't grow, I didn't change, I didn't learn how to understand, I didn't learn how to communicate, I didn't learn how to, you know, meet their needs and become a person that's calm and centered. And I chose just to let life keep happening to me, right? We can choose that. Like you said, we all have the power of choice, which is another beautiful gift that we've been given. So how do we want to use it? And that's just our encouragement to you as you're listening to this. Where are you at right now? Where do you really want to be? And listen to that voice above all else. Don't let the fear rule you. Don't let the other voices rule you. Don't let the world and its opinions rule you. You decide where you want to go. And then the way will become clear to you as you move in that direction. So thank you so much, Farron. We really appreciate you sharing your journey. It is absolutely inspirational. Any final thoughts or anything else that you wanted to express?
Not really. Like I said, you know, I'm grateful for the journey that I'm on. I'm grateful for you guys' help, you and Mark, helping me through this journey. And I'm grateful for, you know, we've got a little group of Facebook friends that we have a little chat together. And if it weren't for them, there would be a lot of times when I would still be lost, you know, being able to open up and saying, hey guys, I'm feeling this way. Can you guys help me out? And, you know, the prayers and things like that. You know, I want them to know, because they're probably listening too. I want them to know how much I love them and appreciate them for, you know, allowing me to be a part of that and being able to express my feelings towards you guys too. But I'm in a great place, and I'm really happy about that. So thank you and Mark for your help in that as well.
Ah, so grateful. And grateful that you're able to now pay it forward. I think that's one of the beautiful things about the community that we've made, and that you guys are able to connect with each other. Like you said, you have your own message group with, you know, other clients that went through the process with you and support people. It's amazing, and it's inspiring to me. It's completely humbling. And so I'm super grateful for that, that we're able to be the ones that can shine a little bit of light on the darkness that we just went through. And I know that as more and more challenges come, that as we stay true to those things that we know are true for us, and that we know we're meant to do, we're meant to create in this life, that the way is always made possible. So thank you so much for sharing today, Farron. We deeply appreciate you, and know that great things are going to come for you as you continue on this journey and continue following the path process. So awesome. Thank you so much, Farron. Now, next week, we are going to be back with Mark. He'll be on, and we're going to be talking about what they say versus what they really mean. As Farron said today, sometimes our spouse says some things, and we don't even know what that really means. So we're going to go a little bit deeper into that and help shed a little bit of light on what your spouse really means when they're saying what they're saying. So again, thank you, Farron, and we will talk to you all next time.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.